How do you feel about tables? Tables are those objects in our lives where we sit down to talk or to eat or adorn with favorite objects such as pictures or books or put a coffee tray on it. I wonder if you have a favorite table in your home. We have a favorite table here in the sanctuary. Wonder if you have memories about a special table while you were growing up. I remember my grandmother's table on my mother's side, where the whole family gathered for Sunday lunch after church, and my grandfather would always have champagne for the grown-ups. It was kind of a precursor to Sunday brunches that you see all around the place a few generations later. And I liked that table so much that I bought one exactly like it later on. I also remember my grandmother's table on my father's side, where the other side of the family would gather every Sunday night for platters of fried chicken and green beans and fatback and fresh tomatoes from the backyard in the summertime and lots of chocolate cream pie for dessert, followed by watching our grandfather sitting at the head of the table eating several pieces of white bread soaked in chicken gravy. He had a severe cholesterol problem. We sit at tables to eat food. It's part of family life. But tables are also the place where business gets done. We bring things to the table when negotiating agreements. We reach across the table to compromise and bring others to a common point of view. Sometimes we even do business under the table. Rarely, though, do we come to a table to do both, especially with people we don't necessarily know or necessarily like. We don't want to sit down at table with our enemies. If we do, we may let our guard down, and then we can't draw our six guns out of our holsters in time, and it's curtains. But here in this psalm, the psalmist is coming to a table across from his enemies, still in the valley of the shadow, with his possible annihilation just around the next bend in his pathway. The situation is dire enough, but the psalm tells us that the whole setup was prepared by God, the Good Shepherd. This table, your enemies, this is the place where God has been shepherding you all through your journey in this psalm. And if you're going to find your true self, bearing the image of God, and learn to live well and without fear, you cannot do it apart from meeting your enemies. What are yours, your enemies? What forces in the universe are beyond your ability to control and thus control and confound you in the fulfilling the daily tasks of your life? I'll share one of mine. My enemy, among others, is doubt. I often doubt about many things. I often doubt that the God who loves me beyond my senses, yet whose nature I do not fully know, as in just how do you understand the Trinity, will show me the way I need to travel in finding ultimate meaning in my life, just like you want to find ultimate meaning in yours. Now, I've been to school to try to figure this out, and I've talked about it, and I've taught about it, and I've preached about it, but the answer often eludes me. It's just beyond that bend in the valley, just around the corner. It's in the next email I'm going to read, or the next book or article I pick up. But as close as I think as I'm getting to it sometimes, it's just not there. Something comes along to upset my apple cart and to upset my thinking and to push me off course, of course, to which I say, nuts. I guess that's what too much education can do for you. You're logically smart, but cosmologically dumb as a post. There's a saying in the African-American church, there's too much learning for the burning. I've always thought that was a supreme example of willful biblical ignorance, but now I'm not so sure. Well, I have other enemies, and you have yours, and we need to confront them. And the psalmist says that the table is where we come to do that. The table is before us. But that means that we need to walk to the table and take our place before the enemy is met. It's not easy to face what threatens to do us harm. We usually want to retreat before the battle, to run away to a safe place and hide. But perhaps it's been your experience as well as mine that the enemy has a way of following us until it finds us where we are. We cannot avoid our enemies, our fears, our confusion, or our doubt. Denial and escape never work. It just gives our adversaries more time to do their mischief. So then we are bound to come to the table. Now, as fearful a prospect as that may be, we have an advocate who comes to our aid at the table. And that advocate, the Good Shepherd, provides the care and assurance that will see us through all of our trials with abundant gifts of grace. And the psalmist tells us that that process begins with a jug of oil. Have you ever been anointed? Sounds pretty regal, doesn't it? There were only two reasons why one's head was anointed back in biblical times. One was to be crowned king. The other was for personal hygiene. Oil was used for both royal and personal purposes. And I suppose that if you're going to confront your enemies across the table, you should do it when you're clean and feel a little omnipotent. Well, in this psalm, it is God, our real king, who anoints you with oil as you dare to sit at the table that he prepares for you. This act is an indication that God cares for you, that you're being treated with royalty. And knowing that God is on your side, you take your risk and you take your place at the table of your enemies, those within and those without, to encounter and dialogue with them, to know and understand them so that their power can no longer hold sway over you. You come to a new place of power within yourself and deal from your own strength so that peace can be achieved. Again, in the words of Rabbi Ramey, from whom I quoted last week, peace is the ultimate gift of being shepherded by God. Peace, as in shalom, is linked to shalem, as in wholeness. True peace is the capacity to embrace and engage the whole of life, the good and the bad, the hallowed and the horrifying, without losing your balance, without locking yourself in a tower of fear and invulnerability. True shalom comes out with the realization that God is with you inside and out. If we were to put the full grace that God has planned for you in your favorite coffee cup, your cup would be running over. It would spill down your lap. It would spread out over the floor. It would flood the room with you still in it. That cup is your life with God. It is, as John says, layers of grace upon grace that surround you at the table to feed you and to get your business done. When you're willing and able to face your enemies, the fears that haunt you, the doubts that disable you, the grief you don't seem to be able to shake, and not give in or give up. When you sit at the table as tall as you can, when you're standing up, you know that God is working in you, working for you, winning for you. You will feel it and you will feel better. Now, perhaps not all will be well. You may still experience loss. You may often be afraid. You may sometimes doubt. You may even encounter new enemies along your way that you never knew were there waiting for you. But when that happens, pick up your cup again and feel the love of God enfolding you. Wait if you must, but God is there and God will come. God will come just as surely as goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. This is true because the Good Shepherd, whom we do not know and cannot fully know, is goodness and mercy and will always follow and sometimes lead you to those still waters once again, where you can be refreshed and be further led to share those gifts with others. Now your journey is almost complete. You've had your wants met, your soul restored, you've walked through the dark valley, and you've come to see the bright open skies of your life on the other side. It's the circle and the cycle of life. But there's a greater destination, and the psalmist tells us we will not only go there, but we will dwell there. That means we get to stay. We dwell in the house of the Lord. But where do we go exactly? Where is this house of the Lord? The house of the Lord is where God dwells. And God dwells everywhere. God dwells with us, and thus we dwell with him. This is to say that there is nowhere where we are beyond the reach of God, and that is a final and permanent arrangement. God, the Good Shepherd, will watch over his flock from the noonday sun into the star-filled night. There is no place to go in his dominion that you cannot find God, or that God cannot find you. There is nowhere to go that you cannot find peace at last. The psalmist says it, and with the blessing of the Good Shepherd, he makes it so. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.